the FBI started into fingerprint processing on a national level in 1926. So we have about 85 years of experience in doing it. And up until about 1999, the system was completely manual, with literally thousands of people looking through thousands of file cabinets and into millions of cards. And coming up to 1999, the turnaround time to process fingerprint transmissions or transactions was about 6 months. So it just obviously wasn't meeting the business requirements. So in 1999, the FBI rolled out the IAFIS system, the Integrated Automated Fingerprint Identification System, and that automated what had been a completely manual process. And it took the transaction times down to about 24 hours for civil transactions and about 2 hours for criminal transactions. And that was really very good and revolutionary at the time, and served the mission need for the next decade or so. But now with the latest mission and the increased volumes and the focus on Homeland Security, there was a requirement to take that down from days and hours to minutes and seconds. So that's what NGI is focused on doing.
And so, how did you accomplish that?
What NGI is a system or a contract that's going to do a combination of take and update the technology of the system that we have, and add in new functionalities.
New functionalities like what?
It's going to be a multimodal system, meaning it'll support different modes of biometrics. So right now the IAFIS system supports rolled fingerprints. What the NGI system will do will support flat fingerprints, palm prints, facial recognition, scars, marks, and tattoos, and iris recognition.
And is there something you're doing to speed it up with, say, file compression? Because fingerprint files are, at least used to be, pretty big, and that was part of the problem of shoving them around a network so quickly.
We do use compression over the network. I think the biggest technology advance has been NGI is built on top of commodity Linux hardware, so much lower cost processing power, and we're able to put a lot more computer power onto the processing of the fingerprints. So for example, we have a database of 65 million people with criminal histories that we're searching through. Each of those has 10 fingerprints, and the 10 fingers in the submissions come in with 10 fingers as well. But NGI has the ability to do 9 trillion individual finger-to-finger comparisons per hour. So that's a lot of processing power.
So is this a phased-in capability, or is it to its maximum capacity now? Where are we on the timeline of things?
That's one of the things that we're real proud of with the way the NGI contract is structured. It's a 10-year contract, 6 years of development, and the last 4 years are operations and maintenance. And with the way the procurement processes work, we had to lay out our requirements probably a year before the contract was awarded. So we felt that it was pretty impossible to predict exactly what we're going to need over the next 11 years. So the way the contract is structured is we've laid out the different modalities, the different biometrics that we intend to put into the system, and what the expectations are going to be for all of those. And what we do then is we started out with the fingerprints, and we did a trade study where we had different vendors come in and measure actually with real data how the different solutions will perform, and we picked the best solution at the time. And so we're doing that in different phases, and we're making the decisions on the specific technologies as we get closer to them.
We are speaking with Jerry Pender, Deputy Assistant FBI Director for the CJIS Division. And, of course, the FBI is not the only agency that uses this system. You interact with state and local law enforcement, Homeland Security. How did you work with them in developing the next generation of capability?
The CJIS Division is Criminal Justice Information Services Division, and we support about 18,000 law enforcement agencies throughout the United States. We have an advisory policy board with the leadership in the law enforcement community, the IT area, who advises us on what they need in their system and what the priorities were. So we spent about a year before defining the requirements, interviewing representatives from every state, and at the, both the state and local level, as well as the different federal partners. We did over 1,000 interviews with 100 different agencies, defining what it is that they were needing, what their gaps were, and what their priorities were. And we did that right before the contract award.
So what happens next? What's next on your list?
So we've implemented our phase one, which was our replacement for our fingerprint matching algorithms. Increment two will focus on what we call risk repository for individuals of special concern. It's kind of the worst of the worst records, the real bad guys, active wants and warrants, sexual offenders, known or suspected terrorists. And we're providing that really rapid access through handheld wireless devices. So when police are on the street, they're able to identify people before they take them into custody. We have a pilot with that going on in Houston, and they've been getting very, very good results.
Like an app for your iPhone?
I don't know that iPhones are there yet, but that will certainly be the kind of vision. Whatever the frontline police officers have, whatever kind of mobile devices, and certainly iPhones isn't something that we have right now, but I could imagine that type of thing happening.